Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
The Collins Interview.
I will cooperate fully in deferring to them as they look for someone to replace me on the ballot.
It sounds an awful lot like if his name stays on the ballot and if he wins, he is going to be resigning in the new year, which would lead then to the governor calling a special election and both parties putting up people to fight that special election.
I think Chris Collins is going to be on the ballot.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 and 716. And boy, there's a lot there. WIVB scoring that exclusive one-on-one interview with Congressman Chris Collins, his first since his indictment in August. Reporter Dave Graber trekked to Collins' D.C. office and sat down with the congressman.
And I'm innocent of the meritless charges that have been placed against me, and I'm confident I will be exonerated.
This has created a tremendous amount of chaos in Western New York's 27th. Guilt or innocence aside, there are questions about what will happen in November. You suspended your campaign a couple of days after the indictment was announced. What do you think should happen? Are you in communication with the folks back in Western New York about what you think should happen? Right now, it's still up in the air.
Well, so let me just say, four days after the shock of this with my family, we got together. And at that point in time, there was no question I needed to remove the spotlight from my family as best I could. While I'm innocent, I needed to look out for my family, so I did suspend my campaign. That's the right decision. I've expressed to the county leaders, the eight county chairs, I will cooperate fully in deferring to them as they look for someone to replace me on the ballot. Other than that, I am not involved. The powers to be are working through that. I will leave that with them. Other than that, I'm going to be very supportive.
Does that mean you would be supportive of being replaced on the ballot?
Yes.
How do you think that could happen, to your knowledge? Because that all is still being explored.
As I understand it, they would find another spot for me to run, at which point I would then decline my spot on the congressional ballot. And that's what they're working through. As I understand it, it's never been done before. So they're looking at the legal aspects of it. And as I've said, I'm going to cooperate fully. I have every confidence that the folks working on this will get this done, and I'm going to cooperate with them.
The biggest takeaway I got was that he is cooperating fully with Republican leaders to try to replace him.
Political contributor Carl Calabrese watched and listened to the interview closely,
including putting his name on the ballot for another office. There was a lot of speculation about that technique of getting him off the ballot was in play, but nobody ever really knew would he go along with it. There was a fair amount of concern in Republican circles that, you know, would Chris Collins, a congressman, be willing to put his name on the ballot for something like a town assessor or a town clerk? And he answered that quite clearly last night, that he is willing to do that. But he also acknowledged that that has legal issues, and they expect a challenge by the Democrats and a court fight, and that just continues the uncertainty around New York 27 that's going to go on for a while.
Judging from what you heard last night, do you think there is a good communication between Collins and Republicans as it comes to that effort, or might some Republicans just be learning about his absolute willingness now?
Oh, I think many Republicans just learned about it last night. That's not to say that the county chairs that have been involved in this process have not been communicating with him. But, you know, you have to understand that there are downsides to that. If you're a town Republican chair or a town Republican supervisor, think about it this way. When you're a town Republican chair or you're a town Republican supervisor, You want to run your elections on local issues. You want to run about the quality of life in your town. You want to run on low taxes. You want to run on high provision of services, good provision of services. If you participate in this and you allow the congressman's name to come into a town office, next year's election, you know that it's going to be nationalized. You know the Democrats are going to now make that an issue that you participated in this effort to get him off the ballot, and you brought him into your town. And so now instead of talking about quality of life issues, town taxes, town services, you're going to be talking about Congressman Collins and Donald Trump. And so you can certainly understand why a town Republican chair and a town Republican supervisor might be very hesitant and very reluctant to help out in this case, knowing that it totally changes next year's town elections.
Carl, he's known about this, he said, since April 25th. The public found out August 8th. Now, that must have been a brutal more than 3 months of knowing that this was coming. Did he have any obligation to maybe tell the Republican leadership that this was coming so they could, you know, kind of get their ducks in a row?
Well, there's the old saying in politics, Susan, you know, once you tell one person a secret, it's no longer a secret. And so I can certainly understand why he wouldn't want to do that. Looking back in a perfect world, he probably should have, and not just told them, but put together a complete plan for how to deal with this, and to deal with it much earlier than what we're doing now, because of deadlines and legal dates that have to be met. The party now is in a real bind to replace him on that ballot, and as I said yesterday, more and more Republicans are kind of just accepting the fact that Chris Collins' name is going to be on that ballot going into this election, and he has suspended his campaign. So it's right now, it is the worst of all worlds if you're a Republican trying to figure out how you retain New York 27.
If that happens, his name remains on the ballot. Did he sound last night like someone who wants to either campaign or, if he were to be elected, serve?
No, he didn't. That's one thing I was listening for, Brian. He's quite clear that he has suspended his campaign. He gave no indication last night that he's going to re-energize that effort. And then he left unanswered the question that you and I spoke about the other day, and that is, what happens if his name stays on the ballot and he wins? Does he go back to Washington? He didn't answer it, but he certainly implied that no, he would not stay in Congress if he won. He talked about packing up his office at the end of the year and moving on to the next phase of his life. So even though he didn't address it directly, it sounds an awful lot like if his name stays on the ballot and if he wins, he is going to be resigning in the new year, which would lead then to the governor calling a special election sometime next year and both parties putting up people to fight that special election.
Yeah, it did sound like that he thinks he'll beat the charges, but he says it doesn't sound like he has any fight left to keep his seat.
No, I know Chris Collins very well. I've known him since he first ran for Congress back in the 90s when I was a town supervisor in Tonawanda and helped him campaign through the town of Tonawanda. He seems very focused on the next phase of his life. He seems comfortable with it, and that's great for him. But in the meantime, he's got this this legal battle he's got to fight. And by the way, I thought the other interesting takeaway was, although there's been speculation and it's been reported that there was a plea deal offered, he confirmed that himself last night. That's very interesting that he didn't take that plea deal. I've been around law enforcement people all my life, worked very closely with them, and in talking with them, not about this case, that it would not put anybody in that position, but just talking about the federal government's kind of way of doing business in cases like this, generically, probably the deal offered to him involved stepping down the charges against his son and his son's future relatives to probably misdemeanor level, which means no one has a felony record, no one goes to jail, in exchange for him pleading guilty to some level and some number of felonies. That was more likely than not the type of deal that was designed. If he turned that down, that tells you that he not only has confidence in his ability to win a case in court, but his son and his son's future in-laws' ability to win a case in court, because everyone is facing very serious charges here And in passing on that deal, I thought was very, very interesting in terms of how he feels his chances rank in a court of law.
And while there is an incredible amount of frustration on the GOP side of this situation, on the other side of the political aisle, well, it's pretty extreme.
The first thing that struck me was he was sounding like a victim.
Democratic congressional candidate Nathan McMurray, who may be running against Collins, but is running for the seat.
And I think that that tone or that tenor is probably been across he and his entire team. They're acting like they are the ones who have been somehow wrongfully attacked. And that really disturbed me. The second thing is, you can hear in his words, he said that he would do what he asked to do, but he repeatedly said that this had never been done before. And the reason why it's never been done before is because moving people around like pieces on a chessboard is prohibited by law. And so those are the two things that struck me right off the bat.
Nate, do you feel that Chris Collins maybe did you a favor with that interview?
Well, he certainly didn't do himself any favors. I think he would be talking more about his constituents and the fact that he's mournful for the loss of the position where he had a chance to serve them and he could have done more. Instead, he talked about the loss of his career and the loss of and the fact that he was attacked by his political enemies, and he used the word witch hunt. I mean, if you look at his record, and I encourage the people of Western New York to look at his record, it's not just the insider trading deal. There's continual incidences of ethical violations. He used the house of the people, not for the people's work, but for his own work and to enrich himself and his families.
We keep on being told that the 19th, basically a little over a week from right now, is kind of the end date for trying to get Collins off the ballot for Republicans. What do you foresee happening in the course of the next 7 or 8 days before then? Do you believe Republicans are going to get Collins off the ballot? Will this end up in court? What do you predict to happen?
Well, I think if laws are violated or things that are done that are fraudulent happen, there will be consequences, legal consequences. But beyond that, here we are less than 2 months before a general election in one of the most important elections in our lifetime, where we have significant issues before us and our country is challenged. And we're not talking about protecting Social Security. We're not talking about finding ways to help people get accessible health care. We're not talking about infrastructure in our highways, our roads, our bridges. We're talking about this political horse race and this gamesmanship. It's troubling, and I think it's a further attack and a further indictment of the entire political system and how this party system really has failed us as a people.
Nate, who do you think you'll be facing?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who do you think you'll be facing on the ballot in November?
In his own words, he said he can't. This never happened before, and it hasn't happened before because we have laws. And I should remind people that those people who are now trying to jockey for position are the same people who celebrated and endorsed and raised money for and took pictures with and praised Mr. Collins up until very recently. And when I was attacking Mr. Collins for his record, they were telling me, who are you? You're a nobody. Go home. And I think the people of Western New York will remember that. And I think they'll also remember that I'll go to Washington and I'll actually listen to them. And I'll fight for working families here, and I'll fight for Social Security protection, and I'll fight for health care. And those are things I've been saying since day one.
Primary day is Thursday, and after that we expect some clarity as to what NY27 ballot may look like. So stay tuned.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.